Hello, my imaginary friends. SM2N here, you can call me Simon. And it's Thursday the 19th of April 2012. This is my audio blog. Still horribly behind on my downcast listening. I think I've caught up a bit today. It's down to something like 36 hours of backlog, so I'm getting there. Yes, I'm listening to various booze, but it was interesting hearing Imani Blog talking about web analytics and stats and how misleading they can be and how they need to be developed further to be more meaningful. I suppose the thing is, businesses like stats, don't they? Business people like stats because then they can feel that they can measure scientifically the success or failure of the work that's being done and the efforts that are being put in. That's quite understandable. But as Paul points out, there's so many oddities with stats, and stats can be gamed as well. You can fool the stats by coming up with something specific that will make the stats appear higher than they really should. So it is tricky. So wherever possible, it's good to measure something that can't be gamed. You know, like measuring real interactions with real people, and feedback from real people, and sales and all this. These are things that you can really measure, and they really, you know, you can't game them. But yes, businesses it's so tempting for them to latch onto web-based stats and try and farm that for info. So I don't think there is a perfect solution really there for them. I think you need to take these stats with a pinch of salt, don't you? There need to be caveats because they're not going to be perfect, particularly if you're counting, you know, unique hits. You know, if I look at a website on my iPhone and then carry on looking at it on my iPad or look at it on my MacBook or my iMac, you know, there's four different devices for a start. I might even use different browsers. I might start off in the Downcast app, for instance, looking at an audiobook page, and then I transfer to Safari. And then, so while you've got multiple apps and multiple browsers on multiple devices, you can, you know, I could generate a dozen uniques on my kit if I wanted to, or even by accident I could create quite a few uniques. So yeah, I think it is tricky. The other thing I want to talk about briefly was the magic trackpad, which Slandy brought up in relation to trying to avoid something like you know, repetitive strain injury or carpal tunnel syndrome type of situation. And McColgan jumped in and said that he swears by, I'm paraphrasing obviously, but so Slandy had just got a magic trackpad, and after a couple of days of use thought it was fantastic and that it was really working for him. And Mac has been using it for much longer, and also swears by it and says it's really good. I've had a different experience really. I was quite keen on getting a magic trackpad, particularly when Line was launched, because they put that many more gestures into the operating system. You know, did things like, you know, removing scroll bars and stuff like that. So For me, it made sense. It made sense to bring that trackpad experience that I've used on the laptops and on the iOS devices, to transfer that over to the iMac as well. So I was keen to get one of those. A couple of things that I found frustrating about it. One was, one thing I find particularly frustrating is that I couldn't find a way to get all of the gestures on the Magic Trackpad to be consistent with the same gestures on my MacBook Air. And I'm assuming it's because Apple did have been using the expansion of more and more gestures on their laptop lines. So, you know, with each successive generation, and my MacBook Air is 2-3 years old now, I guess. Whereas if you bought a brand new MacBook Pro now, it would be able to support more fingers, gestures that require more fingers and stuff like that. So I suspect if I had at the very latest top of the range laptop, then it would have the same trackpad gestures as the Magic Trackpad on the iMac. But because I don't want to go out and buy a brand new laptop, because my two and a half, whatever it is, 3 year old MacBook Air is still perfectly serviceable. I found that frustrating. But the other thing I found was sort of dragging when you do the action of taking a, you know, if you click on an icon or a piece of sound in GarageBand or something like that, you have to click down on it and then you have to then drag it to a different place. And I found that really difficult on the Magic Trackpad. So there was a time when I had to fit the iMac in a very small area and there wasn't enough room on that surface to use the mouse. So I used the Magic Trackpad instead, because that just stays static, and it fitted into that workspace. And I was using the trackpad instead of the mouse, and I found it really a real strain on my fingers to have enough pressure to hold down the trackpad to hold on to an icon or a piece of audio in GarageBand. Drag it over to somewhere else. I just found it a real strain on my fingers, much more painful than it is using a mouse. So, and I do notice that also on my laptop. If I use my MacBook Air for a while, I will find that my fingers will get achy in a way that they don't when I use my Magic Mouse. So my personal preference is, for my most ergonomic solution, I use the Magic Mouse and or the Mighty Mouse. I've got Mighty Mouse as well. But a mouse and a trackpad I find to be the most ergonomic. You know, you can use the right hand, for instance, on the mouse, and your left hand can control the trackpad, and you're kind of using both hands at once then so you can use your trackpad for scrolling and zooming and stuff like that. Whereas the mouse can be used for pointing and dragging and a bit of up and down scrolling and stuff as well. I don't know. I think because the multi-touch gestures work so well on iOS, I think the actual solution is probably a change to the macOS operating system, again, a further change. I think that's I think that's probably what the solution is, because you can, you know, you can use an iPad without getting that kind of strain, because the sorts of gestures you're doing on an iPad, you know, you're not dragging and dropping icons around, are you, to move files around. And in GarageBand, I've been using that on the iPad, and again, there aren't the same gestures that there are when you use a Magic Trackpad on an iMac. So I don't know if it's because they've simplified things on the iOS, or the fact that they've just kind of started from scratch and with a fresh approach. So I'm hopeful maybe the next version of macOS, maybe the one after Mountain Lion or whatever it's going to be, it's going to have a more radical change that will make the Magic Trackpad a much more pleasant experience for me. So there we are, there's a little bit of rambling thoughts on that. But yeah, okay. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Take care of yourselves, and speak to you again. And I look forward to hearing any opinions that you guys have got on anything that I've said. Thanks, toodle-boo.